Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I wish I could say we were going to have a smooth, easy, casual couple of hours together, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed the lunch hour on the Eastern Seaboard. But we got a lot to talk about, and you got to buckle up here, folks, because the Republicans are about to have their way with us, if you will. So, look, we have been waiting for this continuing resolution for quite some time. And Speaker Mike Johnson just has not delivered. It's been delay, 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 no action at all. He finally said, you're going to have it before the weekend. We didn't have it before the weekend. Then he said, you're going to have it Sunday night. Didn't happen Sunday. He said, we're going to get it to you on Monday. That did not happen. And finally, we're getting some indication of what's in this continuing resolution. And it is absolutely insane. And here's what gets me, folks, is that Speaker Johnson is no different than Kevin McCarthy or Paul Ryan or John Boehner. These are spend Republicans, and they're spending money they don't have, and they're spending our money. So, look, we need you to reach out to your elected leaders today, and you've got to tell them to vote this sucker down. And I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of these Republicans. Well, there's really no difference of these politicians waiting until the very last minute to deal with these issues. You and I, we have to make a budget. We have to live on that budget. And if we go over the budget, we suffer the consequences. There are no consequences for these people. And there are a lot of enraged Republicans out there over this. Among them is Congressman Eric Burleson, who's going to be joining us at the top of the next hour. And Congressman Burleson laid it out. Take a listen to what he just said.
It's a total dumpster fire. I think it's garbage. This is what Washington, D.C. has done. This is why I ran for Congress to try to stop this. And sadly, this is happening again. I think that it's shameful that people that celebrate DOGE coming in, and yet we're going to vote for another $1 billion to be added to the deficit. And so it's ironic.
What does this mean for Speaker Johnson's future?
Personally, I'm disappointed. I think that he can do better. He can communicate better. The fact that we haven't seen the language today and we're supposed to vote on it this week is unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. And here's the deal, folks. They cannot vote on anything if they haven't had the time to read it. And if it's 1,400 pages, every single line, every single sentence has to be gone through and analyzed. But he's got a point. All of these people that are out there saying, oh, we just love Elon. We just love Vivek. And we've got to get a control on spending. We don't need to be funding monkeys getting high on crystal meth. Who are we? We don't need to be funding drag queens. Take that out of the budget. While they're taking that out of the budget, they're throwing in almost twice as much money for projects in their own backyards, in their own districts. And ladies and gentlemen, it is time for some grown-ups to make some grown-up decisions here. We can't keep up this level of spending. It's impossible. But here you have the Republicans, and they're talking out of both sides of their mouth here. As a matter of fact, Congressman Chip Roy just spoke with reporters. Here he is, cut number five.
I mean, just swamp's going to swamp, right? 1,400 pages, still haven't seen the text. Multiple subject matters. Important health care legislation. in the context of extenders piled on the back of a three-month CR with about $110 billion unpaid for, $25 billion of healthcare policy, half of which is fake pay for, being sold that is pay for because they're gimmicks and shuffling around the decks. Things like E15, which we didn't even have a full debate on. This is not the way to do business, right? And so, you know, we've said we'd do something different. And since we've been given the majority again, we're adding $330 billion in literally totally unpaid for additional deficit spending just since November 5th in 45 days. I don't see how that's doing what we're supposed to be doing.
How much of the blame falls on the speaker?
Yeah, I mean, right now we'll keep trying to move forward. The conference itself owns this, right? And the conference needs to decide whether we're actually serious about spending. And they talk about, well, we got to do mandatory spending reform and bend the curve. But we just voted on a $200 billion shift of dollars in Social Security that's going to shorten the time when Social Security expires or goes bankrupt. We're just fundamentally unserious about spending. And as long as you got a blank check, you can't shrink government. If you can't shrink government, you can't live free.
No, you can't. And by the way, you want to know how everybody's in cahoots? I'm going to explain this to you. The conservative media, they're just as bad. Go to Fox News right now. This ought to be the top story. And if we cannot get our spending under control, what is the point of having a Republican Party? In all seriousness, what's the point of having a Republican Party? And again, the CR has yet to be released. So Speaker Johnson is a failed speaker, in my estimation. He's done. There's no way. The House Republicans are not unified. This is yet another year-end spending bill. And what they do, folks, is they wait till the very last minute, right before Christmas, when they know that the American people aren't paying attention, and they shove all this stuff through. And then you get stuck holding the bill. That's what's going on right now. But again, Speaker Johnson, he was supposed to have delivered on this months ago. And that's all Speaker Johnson is doing right now. He is racking up debt. And you know who's going to have to deal with all of this? You know who's going to have to deal with the debt? It's Donald J. Trump. I mean, what's going on here? Trump is literally going to inherit more debt. And the reason why is because of his own feckless party. Where is the so-called skinny CR? Where is that? I'm telling you, folks, I don't trust this guy, Mike Johnson. I do not trust him. And I'm, you know, what's interesting here is, again, everybody circles the wagon. So you got all the evangelical Christians, and they love Mike Johnson because he's an evangelical Christian. And you ought to see some of the emails and the messages I get. How dare you? Who do you think you are going after Speaker Mike Johnson? He's a good Christian man. He's a great Christian man. He's a lousy Speaker of the House. And yes, it's possible to be both of those things. But again, ladies and gentlemen, this shows you about the power in Washington, D.C. It infests everybody. Everybody. And the fact of the matter is the evangelicals ought to be just as upset about this as I am. But because Speaker Johnson's their guy, they're going to give him a pass. They've been giving this guy a pass since he was elected speaker. And Mike Johnson has been one of the weakest speakers that we have had. And that's saying a lot because we've had a lot of really bad ones. I mean, John Boehner crying all the time into his martini glass. It's unfortunate. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, this is some of the insanity, reading here some of the insanity, all right, that's included in the CR that we know of. The federal government would pay 100% of the cost of rebuilding the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. That could be up to $2 billion. We're looking at funding to build museums on the National Mall to honor women and Hispanics. We're looking at a trade deal that would allow duty-free access for Haitian apparel and textile imports. Are you kind of getting the idea of what's going on here, folks? So you need to be lighting up the phones on Capitol Hill, and you need to be telling your elected leaders, do not support this. And by the way, where's the three-day rule before you even vote on these things? Now, Chad Pergram over at Fox actually asked Mike Johnson about that, and here's how that went. He said, clarify on the 72 hours you said you want to do the bill on, but are you going to adhere to 72 hours, which means we actually consider this Friday afternoon? And Johnson said, it depends on how soon the text comes down, and we'll see. But my intention is to maintain all that regular order in the rules in the 72 hours, so let's see how it goes. In other words, he's not going to hold true to what he promised us at all. Is this any way to run the country? Is this any way to run the Republican Party? I mean, do they not understand? Does the Republican Party not see what happened in this last election cycle where Trump won in almost a landslide with a mandate? Meanwhile, the Republicans barely, and I say barely, squeaked out a majority in the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. So think about that. And by the way, Wyatt Cox, our good friend Wyatt Cox, just sent me a text from the Nevada Talk Network. Dave Ramsey for Speaker. You know what? I would take my personal accountant. I would put him on a plane, and he would be able to balance the budget in 24 hours. So here's my concern. What's happening right now in the House of Representatives, ladies and gentlemen, it is business as usual. These people did not learn a single thing in this election cycle. And let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to pass this. Trump's going to get saddled with all of this new incoming debt. And in the midterm elections, the Republicans in the House are going to get their butts handed to them. That's what's going to happen here. So I know all of you Christians out there, how dare Todd Starnes? He's talking about a good Christian man. Leave Mike Johnson alone, you bully. Really, what about Mike Pence? He was an evangelical. How did that work out for us, America? I'm telling you, a lot of these evangelicals, they get power hungry. And when they get power, they forget where they came from. And they forgot what brought them to the dance in the first place. And it's very disappointing to me. But here we are once again. We're going to be, again, the government shutdown looming and all sorts of chaos. Folks, it's not chaos. This was all planned. They knew where all of this was going. And they're just hoping that you are not going to be paying attention to it. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. A lot of lawmakers weighing in, especially on the House Freedom Caucus. Let me tell you something, folks. A lot of those Republicans are sweating like a sinner in church. It is not pretty up there. We got Congressman Burleson coming up in the next hour. Also, Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis. She represents Brooklyn and Staten Island. And we do have some breaking news updates on the drone situation. We'll get into that this hour as well. Our good buddy, Dr. Robert Jeffers, is going to drop by. Lord knows we need religion today. And we're going to be talking to our friends over at Priority Gold. I told you, we got a jam-packed show today. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Folks, hang on tight because we're heading into one of the most critical elections this nation's ever seen. And let's be honest, there's no guarantee it's going to go your way. We've already seen how far the radical left will go to push their agenda. If Kamala Harris takes the White House, you can expect more government control, higher taxes, and a full-blown assault on your freedoms. The stakes could not be higher, and you need to make it a priority to shield yourself. Gold is already up 21% this year and still climbing. This is your golden opportunity to fortify your savings. Text GOLDEN to 24999. And my friends at Priority Gold, with over two decades of experience and thousands of five-star reviews, will send you a free gold investor guide. Priority Gold makes it easy to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum, but you gotta act fast. Text GOLDEN to 24999 for your free guide. Keep your retirement golden. Text GOLDEN to 24999 now. So what we need here, folks, is a clean CR. We don't need anybody adding anything to this. And if we don't get a clean CR, then shut it down. Just shut down the government. But this is unfair to add this much more debt to the federal deficit. This is unbelievable. And I am telling you, folks, Speaker Johnson is folding like a chair when it comes to the Democrats. And he's talking about bipartisan efforts. So bipartisan efforts always means that the conservatives, the taxpayers, the hardworking men, you, the great listeners of the Todd Stern Show audience, who toil away at your job 40 hours a week, some of you even more than that, that's who's getting hosed over here. It's nobody else. It's just you. Speaker Johnson doesn't care. By the way, you watch and see how much money that guy's going to be worth once he leaves the speakership. I'm just telling you. I smell a rat, ladies and gentlemen. I smell a rat. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to play some audio here of the mayor of Belleville, New Jersey, Michael Mellum. And they had a big briefing yesterday with all of these mayors. And here's what Mayor Mellum of Belleville came away with. He was doing an interview this morning, cut number 8.
Here's what I know. I know that we were told by our state police that we have assets over our critical infrastructure. Now, depending on your point of view, that's either concerning or comforting. I think it's comforting because it's probably us listening and watching. We also know that we have drones that are flying in a grid-like pattern. In my opinion, they're looking for something. What might they be looking for? Well, potentially, we're aware of a threat that came in through Port Newark. Maybe that's radioactive material. There was and there is an alert that's out right now that radioactive material in New Jersey has gone missing on December 2nd. It was a shipment. It arrived at its destination. The container was damaged and was empty. So potentially we're looking for that.
Stop right there, Mayor, because that's very important information. Mm-hmm. And that came from a credible source.
That came from the U.S. government.
And so it's missing?
Missing.
And they think it's in New Jersey or it could be anywhere?
It was lost in New Jersey in transit.
So that interview happened this morning on Fox 5 in New York City. And you heard the mayor say matter-of-factly that there is radioactive material that's gone missing in New Jersey. Now, if you roll back the tape to last week when this story was first popping up on the national radar, that was one of the options I shared with you. That there was so much hullabaloo. Everybody was talking about space aliens when it seemed to me there was a much more logical explanation for what was going on. And I say that because, again, I don't want to rehash what we talked about yesterday, but you've got these drones and some of them are massive. These are not high school kids with just out pranking the country. No, these are massive military-grade style drones. These belong to the United States government. And we know that because these drones have violated restricted airspace multiple times. And they haven't been shot down. None of them have been shot down. None of them have been taken down. And if, in fact, these were foreign actors, those drones would have been shot down. But now the government comes out. Late yesterday, the White House, FBI, Homeland Security, everybody, and they said, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, they said that they've investigated everything. There are no anomalies. You did not see what you saw. You did not see what you thought you saw. What you saw were airplanes. That's it. And maybe a star or a planet, but that's it. So the White House and the FBI and Homeland Security are now coming out and they're saying that every military personnel who alerted their command of these objects, they didn't know what they were looking at. They're saying that every member of law enforcement out there, every member of law enforcement who reported these things in real time, they didn't know what they were talking about. And all of these elected leaders, many of whom had these things hovering over their homes, they didn't know what they were talking about. So now the White House and your government, ladies and gentlemen, they're coming out there and saying, you guys just, you made all of this up. There's nothing there. And there never was. Are you buying what the government is selling you now? Because now they're telling you there was no drone problem at all. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. What I'm curious about is this radioactive material? Where did it go? What's the purpose of that? We'll be right back, folks. MyPillow is excited to announce their Christmas extravaganza is finally here. Get this season's flannel sheets for as low as $59.98. They won't last long, so get them while you can. Their famous My Slippers, those haven't been on sale for over a year. Normally $119, but for a limited time, only $59.98. And their six-piece towel sets are back in stock with extremely limited quantities, only $29.98. With hundreds of MyPillow products, there's something for everyone on your Christmas list. From bathrobes, duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and be sure to use promo code STARNS to save on all MyPillow products. That's promo code STARNS. Flannel sheets for as low as $59.98 or the six-piece towel sets for just $29.98, but that's not all. They're extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2025. Plus, all orders $75 or more ship absolutely free. All right, I know that a lot of you folks are going to be traveling for the holidays. And by the way, we're very excited. Our team, we're putting together a big three-hour Christmas spectacular. It's going to be pretty awesome. And we'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But anyway, a lot of you folks are traveling all over the country. And many of you are flying. And I'm just curious about this, if you've noticed this being an issue. Have you noticed that a lot of people have these emotional support animals? I mean, there are some weird ones, like the little midget. What do they call them? Oh, they're miniature. The midget horses, the little horses. And you are required. The FAA will let you bring on these emotional support creatures. And there was a time in American life, and I know, Ben Teeter, you may not realize this, but there was a moment in not too long ago when people would deal with their problems. And one of the ways they did that was by simply not talking about it, by internalizing everything. That's the way things were. And you know what? The country was better off. But now you got this whole touchy-feely, oh, woe is me kind of a mentality in this country. And people are not able to cope. And I remember when, you know, we were growing up as kids and things did not turn out our way. My mom would say, you know, grow up, buttercup. I'm just curious because now you've got a situation where, and again, there used to be a time in this country if you wanted to go catch an airplane, you would dress up. Ladies would be in dresses and heels and the men would be in suits and ties. And everyone was very cordial. It was a well-mannered society. And then, I don't know, the 80s happened, and then everything sort of started to unravel after that.
The sexual revolution.
Well, that was in the 60s.
Okay, never mind.
Which led to the significant 80s. Childbirth in the 80s. So anyway, now they've got these animals, these creatures that are allowed to ride in the cabin of the airplane, and this is from the New York Post. The sight of this rough rider, rough rider. The sight of this rough rider gave a flight attendant pause, and her scowl is now breeding contempt online. Okay, well done, Asia Grace.
Wow, they're
really a lead.
Yeah,
a little stretch there, but we get it. We can give you props there. A gigantic Great Dane was allowed to board a small commuter jet. And here in Memphis, we it's always the commuter jets, right? We have a layover in Atlanta or Dallas or Salt Lake City. I mean, that's pretty much it. So if you're going to Atlanta, you're on one of these tiny little, you know, you've got the two seats on one side and the one seat on the other side. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they allowed this guy with a Great Dane, and those things are almost as big as those midget horses.
And so on the plane?
On the plane. And the dog had its own seat. The huge hound stepped on the flight attendant's foot. And one of the people on board the flight said, hey, have we taken this support animal thing too far?
Let me guess. PETA's getting involved and probably facing backlash for asking it.
Oh, people are going bonkers over this. How dare you? I mean, these things are like larger than humans. They weigh up to 175 pounds. And these are super-sized dogs.
Well, here's the problem I have with it. I've seen a dog and a dog owner try to get her pet poodle through the microwavable machines, the TSA machines. They shut that down real quick. You can't do
wait,
that.
Wait. It was
at Memphis International Airport. She was hiding her dog in her carry-on. Right hand up to God. I'm at Memphis International Airport. She had stuffed her dog in her carry-on. And you know you have to put the carry-on on the conveyor belt and slide it through TSA checkpoints to make sure there's no bombs in it. They, by the grace of God, pulled out her pooch right before it went through the radiation.
I'm sorry, her what?
Her pooch.
Okay, thank you.
Right before it went through the machine and got radiation and cancer or something. And then also you have to think every other weekend there's a story in the New York Post about dogs having, well, they have to go to the bathroom at some point. So they go on the cabin or on cabin floors. I don't know. I agree with you, Todd. I think there's a time and a place for doggy time.
If you need an emotional support critter and you're not a military personnel, a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I draw the line.
And because everybody can now claim a issue, I have ADHD. I need a Great Dane. Everybody has a dog.
So a woman tried to your point, a woman tried to sneak her boa constrictor on board an airplane, and she stuffed the snake into a carry-on bag, and TSA pulled her aside, and it was a four-foot-long boa constrictor, and the snake's name was Bartholomew, and she said it was her emotional support animal, and TSA said, you're not getting on board with that.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, I would have taken those plastic knives and stabbed the boa constrictor to death.
Yeah.
There's a snake on that plane. It's not coming off that plane.
Mm-hmm. But what's the cutoff point? It's a slippery slope. If one dog is good, why not a massive dog like the Great Dane? Why not a Rottweiler? What about those pit bulls? That could be an emotional support animal until they eat your kid.
They've got to. And we have seen horses, pigs, peacocks.
What?
This country is screwed up. I think that's the problem here.
I've seen some pigs on planes.
Oink, oink, baby. And people are just unbathed. Sometimes you're better off sitting next to the horse than you are one of these.
I never know if they've started cooking the food in the back of the airplane when I sit down and I realize, oh no, they just didn't wear deodorant.
So this was my worst. This happened to me all the time. Whenever I try to travel back, when I was working in New York, I was back in Memphis, and the layover is always in Atlanta at the first terminal. So it's T1 terminal. It's always this way. And I hate it because as soon as you get on board, literally everybody on that plane is going into the Bojangles, and you smell like a fried chicken joint all the way to New York City.
That's the scent of our city, Bojangles.
Bojangles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just asking, though, I mean, you have to set aside the military veterans, all right? We're not talking about, or the blind people.
We're talking about the niece, nephew at a university that's traveling home for the holidays and they need their emotional support animal.
Yes. I mean, if you've got a gerbil and you need to have that gerbil with you or you can't get on board a jetliner, do you really need to be flying?
Well, I would make a pass for the gerbil.
That's actually a big issue with
that's
the inbound.
Gerbil phobic.
That's an inbound. If you're heading to San Francisco, that is an issue with that crowd. I don't know what's going on there, but I just hear things. So anyway, I'm just wondering again am I out of line here by saying we need to stop this nonsense? Mm-hmm. People need to start coping with life.
Yeah.
I don't deal with it. Get over it.
Well, and the same people that
take a chill pill.
Yeah. And some of these people, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I could not agree with you more. Todd's not traveling with a cat, he's not traveling with a dog. A gerbil, a muskrat, a beaver. He's going solo.
And no offense, but if you've got a flight to Haiti and you've got your pet cat on board,
Forget Haiti, Springfield, saying. Ohio.
What are they cooking back in Coach? It smells mighty tasty. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Again, do you support these people with the coming on board with the Great Danes and these giant animals? It's like a zoo. All right, let's go to Greg in Jackson, Tennessee. He wants to weigh in on these nuclear materials. All right, Greg, what's on your mind?
Oh, you're hitting home runs today, Todd. Hitting home runs.
Well, thank you.
Is this bomb-making material, this nuclear stuff? I mean, how hard can it be to steal nuclear material? And, I mean, until this stuff gets recovered, they need to cancel the inauguration.
So you believe they should... So why do you think they ought to cancel the inauguration?
I mean, if this nuclear stuff can be used to make a small nuclear bomb, what better way to take out most of the Republicans, the MAGA people, and the guy they hate the most than to set off a nuclear bomb in the inauguration? Because the Democrats have a perfect cover. We're not going to Trump's inauguration. They won't be there. So,
well, Greg, here's what the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission did. They issued an alert earlier this week, and this is according to the New York Post. And it was about a piece of medical equipment used for cancer scans that was lost in transit. And they're saying it was supposed to be shipped to southern New Jersey, and the device did not arrive. And it got lost in transit. So the question is, can that material, and again, this is a tiny amount is what they're telling us, a tiny amount of radioactive material that is used in PET scans to calibrate accuracy. So is that enough to call, you know, to make some sort of a dirty bomb? And that's really what we're talking about here is a dirty bomb.
Well, I mean, in nuclear fission, the splitting of one atom, I mean, the best I understand, that's what Hiroshima and Nagasaki was about, the splitting of an atom. You know, so how much does it take? And like I said, do they not put safeguards on nuclear material as it's traveling across the country? It's just unbelievable the things that we're hearing that's going on. I mean,
yeah, you know, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know if that's what they're looking for. I really don't, Greg. It seems to me that they're looking for something. Something's going on, and they're not telling us. And I'm not buying what they're selling. Greg, appreciate that call. By the way, you want to know who else is not buying what they're selling? Bethany Frankel. And she's still around. Is she still a housewife? One of the Real Housewives of New York?
No. Did you run around in circles with Bethany Frankel back in the day?
No.
Oh, that was the Atlanta cast.
Yeah, that was the real. Yeah, my whipping nay-nay. Bethany Frankel is very concerned about this. She lives in this area, and I want you to listen to what she had to say yesterday.
You're going to think I'm nuts, but why should today be any different than any other day? I know this guy whose father worked with the Pentagon and NASA and like secret projects, and he has been messaging me that he will never forgive himself if he doesn't tell the people that he knows that for a month he's been watching this situation, and now, several days ago before it became a discussion in the mainstream media, that these drones are ours and that they could very possibly be sniffing out something very dangerous, some missing dangerous W from the war, and that areas that coincide with where the drones have been seen have spiked in radiation. So he said it's time to think about where I am and that I might want to go somewhere with my daughter. So like for me, you know, we blow things off and we think nothing's going to happen, but things do happen. I remember sitting in my car with my driver who said to me months before I even knew what the words global pandemic meant, I think there's going to be a global pandemic. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, if he had bet the markets, he would have been a billionaire. So I'm just listening to this guy and watching. And now Trump, who's hanging out with a lot of billionaires who have a lot of money for research, is also finding out that these are ours And what were the government's choices? A, tell us that that's what they're doing and widespread panic and pandemonium, or B, do what they're doing. But something is wrong, because otherwise they would eliminate them, and everyone's being very cagey. So what do you think? This guy has also been talking to different people in government positions who agree and are watching now.
All right. I mean, she sounds fairly reasonable. It doesn't sound as if she's unchained or off, you know, just, you know, she's a wackadoodle. But, and it raises an interesting point. If, in fact, this is all about missing radioactive material, and they told the general public, do you believe there would be some sort of a mass panic in New Jersey? Would people just immediately evacuate?
And then also, if it was nothing and these drones were just, I don't know, casually up in the sky, conflicting with airplanes, these military bases, you would shoot them down immediately. Mm-hmm. If there was nothing, if there were just random people's drones, the ones that you give at Christmas time, you would shoot them down, but they are not doing it.
So as we go to break here, I'm just curious, are you buying what the White House is now telling us, that there never was an issue, there was never any, you know, cause for alarm, that all of this was normal, that all the objects in the sky were either airplanes or stars or whatever? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right. Have you been over to the Todd Stern store? You got to go check that out. We got some really cool stuff. I was enjoying a cup of coffee in my Blessed Not Bitter coffee mug earlier today. It was very delicious, and it was not bitter at all. Anyway, ToddStearns.com, go and check it out. Also, many of you have said, oh, you know what, we love your stories, but it's hard to read through the ads. Well, we have a new design layout that we believe has fixed all of that, and so we invite you to go and check out, read our stuff over at ToddStearns.com, and hopefully we have made the reading and viewing a bit more pleasurable. All right, let's go to Jacksonville, North Carolina. Al is on the line, wants to talk drones. All right, Al, what you got for us?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to make a quick statement that from the beginning when I heard about these drones, one thing I thought was interesting is that they were here Thanksgiving, nobody saw anything, and then they've been back since. So that should tell us pretty much it's a damn good chance it's ours, you know. Because that's the day everybody was off.
Yeah, Al, are you hearing? I know there's a lot of retired military folks around your area in Jacksonville. Any scuttlebutt?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of talk, but I try not to get too involved in, you know, conspiracy theory. And, you know, I just try to make sense out of what's going on, you know. But I feel that whatever they're up to, that they feel it would cause more grief for them to actually tell us than the grief that's going to happen from us sitting out here trying to figure it out. Now, whatever it is, I'm sure it's coming soon.
It was sort of like, and again, it's very reminiscent of the Orson Welles War of the Worlds scandal back in 1938. And it's a fascinating moment in American history. That's where everybody got their news, was from the radio back in those days. And they staged a on air, they staged an alien invasion of New Jersey. And it was so insane. People thought they were actually being invaded. And there was mass chaos. People were, and I appreciate the call, people were going bonkers, made headlines. People literally thought, as a matter of fact, the switchboard at CBS News lit up. And the phone lines were overwhelmed. It was pretty spectacular. So anyway, that's what they want you to think this was. It was like all a big hoax. I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it, folks. All right, got to take a quick break here. Congressman Eric Burleson coming up. He is fired up over this continuing resolution. This is the Todd Stern Show.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Starnes, your voice of hope and truth from border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. By the way, our telephone number, if you would like to join today's conversation, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us from the great state of Missouri, the 7th Congressional District, Congressman Eric Burleson. Congressman, good to have you with us today, and I just so appreciate how righteously indignant you have been over the past 24 hours.
Oh, thank you, Todd. You know, when I ran for office, I was frustrated as a Republican, you know, sitting from home watching how, you know, dysfunctional this town is. And so I thought, you know, I had hope. I had hope, especially that, you know, when Republicans took back the House, that we would actually have a spine and do something. But, I mean, these last 2 years have just given me a front row seat to the dysfunction that's up here, and it's disgusting.
So let's talk about this continuing resolution. And it's not that, you know, we see this every single time. It's not even new, Congressman, and maybe we shouldn't be all that surprised. Have you guys actually gotten the text of this resolution yet?
No, Todd, we still have not gotten the text. We were told, first of all, a week ago, this was being discussed as a clean CR, right? I still wouldn't support a clean CR.
And explain to our listeners what that means, a clean CR.
So Congress is supposed to pass a budget and supposed to pass the 12 appropriation bills by September 30th. And because Congress never does its job, then we just kick the can. We pass what's called a continuing resolution to continue this previously budgeted spending into for however long. We did this. I mean, this is how it's been done for the last 20 something years. They do this in 2023. In September 30th, we enacted a CR. When I first got here that September, I voted against that. Then in November, on November 11th, we enacted another CR. And then just this year, on January 1st, or January 19th, we did another CR, and then on March 1st, we did another CR. And then we finally passed two mini-buses in order to fund the budget for the rest of the year until this September. And then guess what we did this September, just a few months ago? We passed another CR. And here we are again passing another CR. And this is a continuation, Todd, of basically Nancy Pelosi's budget.
And that's the point right there, Congressman, is that I don't think the American people understand. These are Nancy Pelosi's numbers. We have not had the courage or the fortitude as a party to put a stop to this out-of-control spending.
We haven't, and I think the quiet part that needs to be said out loud is that half of the Republicans are okay with that level of spending and are good with all of the bloated things that are in it. And this one is actually worse than the clean CRs that we've seen the past 2 years. This one includes significant legislation, including health care reform. I mean, they're trying to go after PBMs, which has caused the big pharma companies. You know, I'm sure the Pfizer lobbyists are dancing in the streets right now because their one enemy, pharmacy benefit managers that negotiate down pricing, are going to be kneecapped here. This town is just when you think that we can't do anything worse, then the next day comes and something worse happens.
So Congressman, tell me about Speaker Johnson here. He kept promising a delivery, and it still hasn't arrived. What is his problem?
I don't know. And look, he respectfully, if you don't have the time to do the work, then don't go to a football game, right? And if you don't have time to reach back out to colleagues that are calling, because all weekend I was trying to reach out to the speaker, trying to find out information about this. We never got any information back, never got a reply. You know, what's sad that we're seeing is that this town has turned over all of the decision-making to the staff of leadership. So that's the way that things operate. If you really get down into it, the speaker doesn't really go into these negotiations. He sends his staff, and then they come back out. It's like if I send my kid to go buy my wife's Christmas present. You know, you give him the money, you're not exactly going to get the best result, right? And so that's the way that this town operates.
So is there a way to stop this? If we can't do it now, I don't see us ever being able to stop this down the road.
I don't think we can do it now. The only thing that gives me a little bit of hope is Doge, and that is, and with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, this effort I think has some merit to it. I'm excited about it, but you know, Chip Roy, whenever we had a meeting, he was 100% right, and it needed to be said that the real problem that they're going to face is not only Congress, but even Republicans in Congress, because we are addicted to spending. We're like a drug addict, and we're addicted to spending other people's money. And they're going to need to put the fear of God in these members in order to get them to course correct and stop the reckless spending and actually make some cuts.
I'm wondering if a message could be sent by the Republican caucus electing a new Speaker of the House.
Yeah, and that I'm sure there's discussions about that that are going on. I'm not aware of it.
Is he capable? I mean, that decision will have to be made. Would you support someone other than Speaker Johnson?
I'm not going to comment at this time about that.
Are you confident in his leadership?
I'm confident in his heart. I think he has. I think he wants to do good things. I'm disappointed in his actions.
Got it. Well, look, Congressman, we appreciate you coming on the program today. I know this is just it's insanity, and we've encouraged all of our listeners to light up the phones on Capitol Hill and to let their elected leaders know how unhappy we are, and let's just hope that things change in January.
Let's hope.
All right. Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri. Congressman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. There you have it, folks. It is unfortunate, and as you heard, I asked a pretty direct question. Are you confident in the speaker's leadership? And the congressman replied, I am confident in his heart. So I'm curious, are you content with Speaker Johnson's leadership, or do Republicans need stronger leadership in the House of Representatives? The fact of the matter is, and I'm glad the congressman brought this up, the fact is that we are still at the exact same spending levels. We're about to exceed those spending levels that Nancy Pelosi set in place before she left the speakership. What does that tell you about the Republicans? It tells me the Republicans don't know how to lead. That's what that tells me. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Do we need a new Speaker of the House? We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Well, big news from our friends over at Newsmax. Rob Schmidt still beating CNN in the ratings. Newsmax, their number one host, Rob Schmidt, is. They've just had a bigger audience than CNN during any hour of the day. That is huge. Millions of Americans like you are now making the switch to Newsmax, and you're getting real facts, no spin, just the truth. Even President Trump says, you know, he's watching Newsmax these days, and you should too. Rob and Newsmax on all the major cable systems, also on YouTube TV. By the way, I want you to write down this web address, getnewsmax.com. That's getnewsmax.com. If your local cable system does not carry Newsmax, we're going to help you find one that does. And we can do that at getnewsmax.com. 40 million Americans watch Newsmax, and you need to find out why. Newsmax is real news for real people just like you. So I thought Marjorie Taylor Greene had a pretty interesting takeaway. She was interviewed by reporters just a few moments ago up on Capitol Hill. And she said the continuing resolution is turning into a three-month omnibus, and it's going to result in more Democrats than Republicans voting for it. So once again, Mike Johnson is reaching out to Democrats to advance his liberal fiscal agenda. And MTG says the swamp is using farmers and victims of natural disasters as pawns. So what they did was they loaded up the spending bill with relief for farmers and storm victims, right? But then they use that as cover to stick in all this other stuff. And MTG says, I would rather help farmers and victims of natural disasters than continue a budget I already voted against, funding foreign governments and foreign wars. Why are farmers and victims of natural disasters always political pawns in an effort to continue funding bloated government? It is the same old uniparty BS dangling important programs around as bargaining chips. And it's true. That's exactly what they're doing. And that's why I just think we need somebody as the Speaker of the House who is going to throw down the hammer, draw a line in the sand and say, no more. And why are we waiting till the last minute again? This is why I believe Mike Johnson has disqualified himself from being Speaker of the House. And then hiding behind and really using his faith as a shield against criticism. That's what I want to know. So I say it's time to give this guy the heave, the hoe. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Can we talk about this school shooting? What a weird situation. Yesterday, we told you the story was unfolding live on our program. We had a school shooter, a teenage girl, and man, was she messed up. And we're not going to get into that right now. But the police chief in Madison, Wisconsin, is as woke as the day is long. This guy is a radical leftist. And you can just sort of tell by the way he addressed a big issue. And the question is whether or not the shooter is transgender. It's a pretty simple question, you would think. Here's the police chief.
Chief, there's been a lot of misinformation online, including from the groups of Moms for Liberty activists in Wisconsin, claiming that the shooter was transgender, which is a reaction that we see across the country in wake of mass shootings, to claim that trans people are dangerous. Can you respond to that?
Oh, can we stop? Can we stop for just a moment? Hold it. Hold everything. All right, that was a reporter. A reporter, ladies and gentlemen. That wasn't some sort of a commentator. That was a reporter who was opining about how Moms for Liberty is going out there accusing these trans... Moms for Liberty is not accusing anybody of anything. Moms of Liberty is simply out there saying, hey, look, we got a problem out here. These transgender kids are going out there shooting up schools, which is what happened in Nashville, by the way, but nobody wants to talk about that. But who does this reporter think she is? This is the problem. That reporterette is the problem with journalism in America. This is why people hate journalists. Instead of asking a question and the answer, and the question is very simple. Excuse me, Mr. Police Chief. Yes, reporterette. Could you please tell me if the shooter identified as transgender? Boom. Question. Instead, she decided to editorialize. So let's go back. I want us to listen to the whole thing again. That just irritated me yesterday when I heard that question.
There's been a lot of misinformation online.
Wait, stop, stop, stop. Wait, what misinformation? What is this woman talking about? What misinformation? People are asking questions. And by the way, if reporters bothered to ask questions, maybe there wouldn't be misinformation out there. But what is she talking about here? All right, let's go back and listen to it again.
There's been a lot of misinformation online, including from the groups of Moms for Liberty activists in Wisconsin, claiming that the shooter was transgender, which is a reaction that we see across the country in wake of mass shootings.
Stop. What is she talking about? What are you talking about, you moron? This woman, she's got to be working for ABC or CBS. She's got to be working for one of those. This, folks, I promise you we're going to get to what the police chief had to say in just a second. This is driving me insane. When you look at the mass shootings, and this is very well documented, there are a lot of mass shootings in recent weeks and months and years where the perpetrator is a Looney Tune transgender person. By and large, girls who identify as whatever. So anyway, all right, I think we're good now. I think that's pretty... So let's hear what the police chief had to say.
There's been a lot of misinformation online, including from the groups of Moms for Liberty activists in Wisconsin, claiming that the shooter was transgender, which is a reaction that we see across the country in wake of mass shootings, to claim that trans people are dangerous. Can you respond to that directly in regards to this?
Yeah, I don't know whether Natalie was transgender or not. And quite frankly, I don't think that's even important. I don't think that's important at all. I don't think that whatever happened today has anything to do with how she or he or they may have wanted to identify. And I wish people would kind of leave their own personal biases out of this. We have people who showed up to work today to help kids be better who are not going home. And we have lost members of our community who are children, including the shooter. So whether or not she was... he was, they were transgender is something that may come out later. But for what we're doing right now today, literally 8 hours after a mass shooting in a school in Madison, it is of no consequence at this time.
So I you have to listen to what the chief said there. Every child, every person in that building is a victim and will be a victim forever. The police chief is saying that the gunman in this case, the shooter, is a victim as much as the dead kid and the dead teacher. Now, they're going to try to cover all of this up, and I don't know. The fact that the police chief could not figure out if Natalie, and that's the student's name, Natalie, goes by the name Samantha or Sam, if Natalie was a he, a she, or a whatever. And you heard the police chief say that. And that tells me all we need to know about this case. In other words, we're not going to know anything about it. We're not going to learn anything about this child or the manifestos, none of that. But I can tell you this is now Christian school number three, Christian school number three that's been targeted by shooters over the past year. And that is a troubling, troubling thing. So think, it was heartbreaking. One of the child who called 911 was in what, second grade. Abundant Life Christian School, pre-K through high school, 420 students. They say that the shooter died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, so police did not open fire. And by the way, the police chief wanted to leave out details about the shooter to respect the shooter's family. You know what? When you open fire and you kill kids, yeah, you got no respect. Period. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I have a question for all of you parents out there. There is a new report. Parents are now threatening to cancel Christmas to keep their kids from misbehaving. Has that ever happened to you? Did you ever do that as a parent? You know, the kids are misbehaving and they're not, they're not doing their chores. They're not doing their homework. And so finally you say, all right, that's it. That's it, little Ben. That's it. If you do not behave, Santa's not coming to this house. We're not leaving milk and cookies for Santa Claus. According to this survey, one in four parents are now threatening to cancel Christmas. My question is, does that actually work? Does that actually work? Are the kids more behaved as a result of the threat? This is a study by the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. According to their study, parents are threatening to cancel Christmas to get their kids to behave this holiday season. I think that's brilliant. You got to do what you got to do. Let's get real. Some of these children are hellions. I know you wanted to raise them to be good church-going little patriots, but sometimes they're like little demons. And by and large, they kind of work out of that. They ease out of the demon stage. But I'm telling you, some of these kids, whoo, sweet mercy. The survey looked at 725 parents who have at least one child ages 1 to 5 years old. Experts warn that threats can actually backfire, especially when parents do not follow through. And this is a fair point. If you're going to make the threat, you got to follow through with it. Right? And I will say this, nothing puts the fear of God. When I remember when I was little Todd, and I was not always the affable person that you hear behind this beautiful, big, huge microphone. I was a little rabble-rouser back in the day. And all it took was a certain phrase to get me to toe the party line. And it went something like this, don't make me get the belt. And as soon as I heard those words, I made sure that that belt was not gotten. So I'm curious, what about you? Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, have you ever threatened to cancel Christmas to get your kids to behave? The experts say parents should learn to lean on each other and not be afraid of public meltdowns when they happen. I'm going to tell you, I never feared I never even thought about doing a public meltdown because my parents would have killed me in public. They would not have tolerated something like that. I remember we were out to eat somewhere. Oh, God. And this was not like a Chuck E. Cheese. This was like a grown-up restaurant somewhere. And you had these kids just running around the restaurant screaming and carrying on and you're wondering, where are the parents here? I remember when I was a kid, we were taught that when we were in public, we were to be silent. don't speak unless you're spoken to. And you had to sit there and you had to behave. And I'll never forget this. We were at a, I don't know why I remember this, but we were at the ball at the Piccadilly. And I guess I was second grade, third grade. I was a little fella. And we were sitting there and I was eating and we had the whole family there. And a lady came over and said, excuse me, but you have the most well-mannered children. And my parents said, well, thank you very much, you know, and we were just terrified of of somebody getting the belt, because we would have gotten walloped right there in the restaurant. But again, that was back in the day. These days, parents get arrested for stuff like that. But back in the day, parents were a little bit more open-minded when it came to disciplining the children. They were rather liberal with the corporal punishment. And it seemed to work out pretty well. I think our generation, by and large, we turned out pretty decent. But I think it's a pretty terrific idea. Kids, all right, keep that up. No Santa for you. We're going to lock the door. We're going to put a lid on the chimney. Santa's not coming to this house. It could work. It really could. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, this is an interesting story from the U.S. Sun newspaper. They say that a growing number of Americans are ditching Christmas tradition. This is a strange story. The new survey says Americans are over Christmas traditions and want to do things like swapping out a traditional turkey for other food. Actually, I'm not opposed to that. I never have been a big fan of the turkey. The survey of 2,000 adults said that Americans would prefer swapping a traditional turkey for a juicy hamburger. 31% say they are bored with the usual Christmas customs and would like to see more unusual alternatives leading up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. 44% would prefer a pizza, 38% tacos, or perhaps Chinese takeout, 34%. I always laugh at the Chinese, the Christmas story. That's a great scene. Let's see here. 47% would rather spend the whole day in their pajamas rather than getting dressed up. I don't know. That's interesting. 18% like the idea of doing a friends-only Christmas. So they don't want your family around. I don't know. Really? You don't want your family around for Christmas? I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, what say you? What are some of your traditions? And maybe you have a new modern twist on your traditions. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Robert in North Carolina. Wants to weigh in on butt whooping. All right, Robert, what you got for us?
Well, you know, I growed up around your area. My daddy always gave folks, we growed up on dairy farms around here in Mills River places, and he always gave the folks there on the farms. We got out of hand. We got a butt whooping even from them. I mean, they like, most of the time they just smacked us on the butt with their hand or something. But in school, we got really, you know, 5 licks or 3 licks, you know, if you did something bad, you're going to get paddled for it. And I don't understand why they don't have that today. I mean, we all turned out real good, Todd. I'm 56 years old.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I may have a few calluses on my backside from one of those grades when I was a rabble rouser. Yeah, I'm with you, and we're not talking about child abuse here, but there was discipline, there was structure, there was order, Robert, and you knew. And I don't know what it was like in your house, but if you got a licking at school, you were going to get it when you got home too.
Yes, yeah, we did. Well, that's the way a kid ought to be raised today, and I don't think that you'd have all this and especially like toward police and stuff. I mean, you ought to keep the police around and respect everybody around you, because that's what keeps you in order.
You got to respect your elders.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yes, sir, and I respect you Take care, Todd.
Well, thanks a lot, Robert, and Merry Christmas to you. But I think it's really it's about respecting your elders, and we've lost that in this country. You got kids running around talking to teachers like, wow. Mm-mm. I'm telling you, there was a time when that would not have ended well for the student. Here are the top 10 Christmas traditions they say Americans would be open to swapping. Number one, sending Christmas cards. Oh, by the way, we got more Christmas cards. I love getting the Christmas cards, not so much sending them. Ugly Christmas sweater parties. Another tradition Americans would like, gift giving. Gift giving is, Dylan, have you finished your Christmas shopping yet? Secret Santas, listening to Christmas songs. I don't mind. I love listening to Christmas songs, but it's got to be within a certain time span. And all of these folks that are starting the Christmas music before Halloween, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. Watching Christmas movies. Again, this is the top 10 Christmas traditions Americans would be open to swapping. Elf on a Shelf. All right, I don't understand that. That was after my time as a child, but that's just kind of creepy. I don't like the elves. I don't like looking at them. When we were in, we did a big family vacation up to Pigeon Forge, and we stayed at the Christmas Inn, which was a Christmas-themed inn. Like Santa Claus would come in and have breakfast with you and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't sleep well because there were freaking elves, like elf statues in the room. Very off-putting. Number eight, Christmas lights. Number nine, holiday baking and treats. And number 10, decorating a Christmas tree. Okay, you get rid of all of that. I'm not sure you have much left. Fortunately, the baby Jesus isn't on the list. So there you go. Let's go to Rob in Memphis, Tennessee, who wants to weigh in on corporal punishment. Hey, Rob, what you got for us?
Hey, Todd. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, so calling from Memphis. I remember, I'm not that old. I was a late 80s, early 90s kid, and I remember in the grocery store it was not rare to see a kid get snatched up by their parents and get whooped right there in the middle of the aisle.
That's it, and you did it one of two ways. You either grabbed them by the scruff of the back of the shirt, or you grabbed them by the belt, but they weren't getting away.
Exactly.
And you try to run circles around your parent, right?
Right. And, yeah, and even in elementary school, first grade, I think it was the 89-90 year, I remember the teachers occasionally would snatch up a kid right there in the hallway and give him a little pat on the butt.
Well, that's the way it was at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School in South Haven, Mississippi. And I can tell you that we all towed the line. We weren't like a military school, but everybody was pretty darn well behaved there.
Yeah. But I guess those days are over.
Well, when you look at what's happening in our public schools, I'm afraid you're absolutely right, Rob. And again, as a society, and I understand, look, you don't want to go out there and beat kids, but you got to have a little bit of discipline. And a little paddle goes a long way. So, Rob, thanks for that call. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, some fireworks up on Capitol Hill at this hour, where you've got NCAA President Baker, and he's testifying about the transgender athletes. So Charlie Baker just told the Senate Judiciary Committee that he thought it was debatable that biological males have an advantage when competing in women's sports. This guy's a moron. Charlie Baker, and we're working on some audio here from the hearing. It's just absolutely insane that Baker is saying, let's take a listen here.
Have guidelines that instruct them what the best practices are, and your guidelines say that biological men can go in and use the women's locker rooms if they want to. What the women want has nothing to do with it. They're not mentioned in here at all, correct? Correct. It's right here. You just reaffirmed them in May of this year. I've got them. I'm reading them. No, I got them off your website.
I believe our guidelines give people
optionality with respect to how they choose to use their facilities. What does that mean?
Optionality. What it says is transgender student athletes will be able to use the locker room, shower, and toilet in accordance with their gender identity. That means men will be able to use the women's locker rooms. And as Riley Gaines and others have testified before this committee, that means if a man, a biological man, wants to use their locker room, they just have to accept it. Or else the women have to go somewhere else. They've got to go find an alternative. Why is that fair?
We told the local folks who've hosted our tournaments they need to create accommodations for the people who are playing.
You know, so it's the feds on the one hand, it's the locals on the other hand. The only person who doesn't seem to bear any responsibility in this is you and the NCAA, who are the governing body. And your testimony here today is you're not even subject to Title IX. Mr. Baker, I can't tell you how disappointed this makes me. But not just disappointed, frankly, infuriated for the student-athletes who are suffering because of your policies, and you won't even defend them. You won't even take responsibility. It's outrageous. It's totally outrageous.
All right. There you go, folks. That's Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri. Charlie Baker, you may be wondering, where have I heard that name before? Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker is the former Republican governor of Massachusetts. So just so you understand, this guy that you just heard testifying that there's really no difference between male athletes and female athletes, that guy's Charlie Baker, the head, the president of the NCAA, and he is a Republican. So it is a frightening thing to know that that exists. Anyway, Riley Gaines doing a terrific job as lawmakers try to figure out how do we protect female athletes. And this is there's no guarantee, by the way, that all of the Republicans are going to be on board with any sort of an effort to protect biological women in their bathrooms and in their locker rooms. It's really unfortunate what's going on. We got to get to the bottom of it. But I'm telling you right now, the NCAA they have ruined college sports. And it's not just the transgender stuff. I mean, basically what we're looking at is a semi-pro league now. We're not even looking at true college sports teams anymore. By the way, I know a lot of people are talking about attendance at football games, basketball games on the college level. And one of the reasons why attendance is down at so many teams across the country is that there's really no allegiance anymore. So you could actually have an entirely brand new team every single year. Back in the day, you would have players and they would, let's just say, University of Memphis. And you would have a player come in as a freshman. By their senior year, they were still playing for the University of Memphis Tigers. And Dylan, I know you're a big sports guy and you follow the Tigers. And there's been a lot of controversy of late over the lack of attendance at Memphis Tigers games.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
Does that have something to do with it, though, the fact that you don't have the same players out there year after year?
I genuinely believe that. And you have to think about, like, how long these kids are in college. Like, 4 or 5 years. You think about the same thing with pro teams. Like, people like the teams for the players, and they stick around for a while. Like, pro teams have plenty of fans, but like the players are only there for 5 years. These pro guys are staying there 6-7 year contracts. You know, they're staying around longer to the same team, and we're watching them develop. Like you just said, you see a freshman develop into a senior. Like we watched that with our quarterback for Memphis this year. A lot of people like him because he stuck around.
And he's had a great career, broke all sorts of records.
Yeah, he broke like the passing yards for all of the American Conference.
I really think this NIL, they have got to get that figured out because I think it's ruining college sports.
I think it has ruined college sports. Mm. It's just, you know, it's not exciting anymore because we don't even know who the players are.
No, you don't. And that's even on the football level. And again, U of M was a very rare thing where you had a quarterback, you know, who played for the team all those years. I think that is going to be an anomaly.
It really is.
Forward in college sports. All right. Thank you, Dylan. Yeah, it's. I'm telling you, it is NCAA. They have ruined college sports. All right, got to take a quick break here. Our good buddy Robert Jeffress is going to be here. Also, we're going to be talking to a new friend of this program, Justin Hightower from Priority Gold. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So during the break, Dylan brought me up to speed on what's happening with Bill Belichick over at UNC Chapel Hill, where Belichick is the new head coach, and he just brought on a guy by the name of Michael Lombardi, who, as general manager, Lombardi used to be in the NFL as an executive, and had 30 years on six different teams. So the guy's just got tons of NFL knowledge. But he's going to be brought in to serve as general manager for a college football program. And Dylan, to your point, let's just say, let's say you're an Arkansas Razorback, all right? And you find out that you've got a former NFL executive like Michael Lombardi over at UNC. I'm doing whatever I can to get over to UNC Chapel Hill.
It's like candy for a baby.
Man.
Like, obviously you're going to want to go play for the guys that are in the NFL. They know how to get you to the NFL. They're going to get you your right deals. I don't know what's happening.
I mean, basically, you're looking at college football now being like an XFL or USFL down the road. I mean, it's basically semi-pro ball.
It's like NFL light right now.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. So, my goodness. What are they doing? I want to go to the phone lines. Connor in Boston can give us some intel on Charlie Baker, who's the woke rhino president of the NCAA, also former governor there. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Oh, I'm going to tell you with this guy. This guy goes beyond Brian. I mean, this guy's basically a closet Democrat. You know, Todd, I'm going to tell you, when he ran originally, he talked to big names. He went on all the local conservative talk shows here. And then basically after he got into office somehow, he started to change his policy positions and started to not come on their shows anymore. He said awful things about Trump. He's never been a Trumper. And part of the reason why we have people, the governor we have now here in Massachusetts, is because of him. He's always smiling for the cameras when they're working with her. And we have to be more selective as a party with these people we put in here. And in Massachusetts, we've had Mitt Romney, Charlie Baker, all these beauties right here. And we need to be more selective about our brand standards as a party, because these people are rhinos and they have no place even within a 100-foot radius or 100-mile radius of the Republican Party.
It's a great reminder that we have rhinos, and just because somebody is running as a Republican doesn't necessarily mean they are, in fact, a Republican.
Todd, exactly. You know, what we need to tell President Trump and Blair Trump, basically, is if we have rhinos, they don't get to use the elephant logo. They get to use the rhino logo next to their party affiliation. Mm. You know, it's like we need to be more selective with these people who we're putting in there, because it really does not carry the party standards. They're rhinos, and, you know, they don't represent the Republican Party or the MAGA movement.
Yeah, you know what? I have another emblem for them, and you can go down to the hardware store and look in the screw section.
Yeah, well, I got a one-finger salute for all of them. So
that's all right, Connor. All right, Connor, good hearing from you, my friend. Let's go to Kelly in Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, Kelly, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk about the corporal punishment thing. I'm 63 years old, and I don't know anybody my age or older that ever complained about the way our parents treated us. And I raised my kids to have manners and respect, and they didn't complain. Yet those same kids are raising their children to be wimps. So I don't know where the breakdown came from. I really don't.
There was a time, Kelly, and you will remember this, where if there was a bully picking on you at school, you were expected to stand up to that bully. You know, that was just a part of growing up and learning to stand up.
That's right. And I stood up for my brother.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I'm famous in my hometown for beating up one of my brother's friends for messing with his bike and causing him to knock out his front teeth.
Wow. So what did you do to the guy?
I punched him in the face and I knocked out his tooth.
And I bet he never messed with your brother again.
Never. And they're good friends nowadays.
Oh, well, they got something to laugh about.
Yeah, but in the same respect, I've got grandkids who don't even know how to sit at a table and eat a meal. You know, they want to play, they want to fight, they want to argue, they want to disrespect you because of what you cooked. They don't like it, this and that. It would have never gone through when we were growing up.
Did you guys have this rule growing up, Kelly? I'm 57, but, of course, we didn't have cell phones back when we were kids, but we did have the landline, and we were always told, your friends cannot call you during dinner time. The phone does not get answered during supper time.
I still have that rule.
What a great rule.
I'm 62 years old, and I still have that rule. And we eat at the dinner table every single night at 6 p.m. on the dot.
That's it. Kelly, what was it? Ronald Reagan said American greatness doesn't start in Washington. It starts around the dinner table.
And I do not allow cover, and everyone has to have a shirt on at my table.
That's in the South, that's kind of important. You actually kind of, I bet may be a cultural thing, but yes, in the South, you need to make sure that people are wearing shirts.
I spent my first 15 years in the North, but I got to the South as quick as I could. And even being from the North, I knew table manners and respect. And when I got to the South, it was yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. My son's 42 years old, and he still opens the door for me, holds my arm when we're walking, and things like that. And the grandkids nowadays, they don't care. It's just totally different. After the 80s, they're different.
It is. Yeah, things started going south in the 90s, and I think it was when MTV stopped playing music. You know what I mean?
Amen to that.
All right. That's a whole conversation for another day, Kelly, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, Kelly. Well, thank you for listening, and give us a holler back. I like the way Kelly thinks. Let's go to Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. When you were talking about good old Charlie there, you know, he landed the spot. He went from a couple hundred thousand a year governor's salary to making over $3 million a year right now. So, plus I question his last bit of education, him being the true Republican. He came out of Northwestern University, and would be highly unlikely that he's coming out of there and going to not be a rhino at some point.
You know what concerns me about Charlie Baker and when he got hired as the NCAA president? I think we needed somebody from the Southeastern Conference to run the NCAA because it is as woke as the day is long. And who knows? Look, we may have ended up with somebody woke one way or the other, but I'm telling you, this guy is running the entire college, the NCAA, into the ground. Gary, I got to run, my friend. Good talking. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we've got some brand new intel on the House Oversight Committee. They've been looking into the J6 committee hearing, and there's some explosive stuff. I'm telling you, folks, Liz Cheney really could end up going to prison as a result of this. We're going to tell you about it coming up. You know, I just love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love the season. I love the decorations and the concerts and the presentations. And I know one of the most popular places for folks to go to celebrate Christmas is the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Some of the finest music, some of the finest people I know are there, including their awesome pastor, Dr. Robert Jeffers, and he is on the Newsmaker line right now. Dr. Jeffers, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Todd. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I just have to tell you, I was watching the big Christmas celebrations that you guys did, and just absolutely phenomenal. I'm always wondering if you are ever going to make a guest appearance, because a lot of people don't realize you yourself are musically inclined.
Well, some would challenge that, but I'm an accordion player, and occasionally I appear to do my favorite Christmas song, Jingle Bell Rock, but only on selected appearances.
I love that. I've never been lucky enough to see that performance. Maybe one day, Dr. Jeffers.
Make that a life goal, Todd.
Okay, I'm writing it down. It's on my bucket list. And you know what? We're going to ask John Rich about this. Maybe you guys can. I don't know. He did something with Mike Rowe. Maybe you guys could get together and do like a trio.
Maybe so.
You know, I'm curious, Dr. Jeffers. You know, we see you all the time on cable television, and of course, the Pathway to Victory, this wonderful program. And a lot of folks want to know, what is it like? You know, when you walk out of the church, you go home. Do you guys have the big decorations? You have a big Christmas celebration in the Jeffers household?
Well, we usually go over to my oldest daughter's home, and we have triplet grandchildren. They just turned 7, 2 boys and a girl, and so Christmas really is kind of centered around them. We have some chili and then open gifts and then watch our favorite Christmas movie, Elf. And so that's our Christmas tradition.
You see, I would have guessed you for, like, I don't know, a Jimmy Stewart guy, not a Will Ferrell guy.
No, I'm a Will Ferrell guy. I probably shouldn't tell that, but I am.
Pickleball, accordion, Will Ferrell. This is amazing. We're getting to see the real Dr. Jeffers here.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sight.
You know, I am curious, though. You know, having grandkids now, have you noticed the Christmas Day festivities? Do they change?
Well, they have. It really is become very child-centric, which I guess is appropriate for Christmas. But it's a chance for them to kind of experience Christmas, and we get to experience it in a new way through their eyes. And so it's really been a blessing for the last 7 years to have them here, because they were really a miracle of God. My daughter had 3 miscarriages, and she and her husband had prayed that God would give them triplets, one to replace each life that was lost. And I told her, Julia, don't pray for that. You're just going to be disappointed because we don't have that in our family. I'm such a great man of faith, Todd. But she said, Dad, if you want to see God do big things, you have to pray big things. And she did, and God gave them triplets in answer to that prayer. And so every time I see them, I think about a miraculous God who's able to do all that we ask him to.
You know, you mentioned that, and you look through some of the things that have happened at the First Baptist Church in Dallas this past year with that tragic fire that destroyed the sanctuary, and yet out of those ashes, you guys are building something new.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a 4-alarm fire. 130 firefighters tried to save our historic sanctuary that you've been in before, but it burned to the ground, and it was kind of a gut punch to our church, had a lot of inconveniences. But now we've removed the debris and are ready to build again, and I think it's just a sign of God's faithfulness. I have to tell you, I talked to President Trump a few weeks ago. The first thing he wanted to know was about the fire and how we were doing in the rebuilding process and what the new sanctuary was going to look like. And, you know, he went to the Notre Dame opening as well, and he was one of the very first people who reached out to us. Because he cares about churches. He believes churches represent faith, that is the spiritual glue that holds our country together. And so we were grateful for his interest in what we were doing.
I'm so excited to see the president and how the Christmas celebrations are going to explode, you know, in this upcoming year. I mean, Christmas is Christmas, but one of the things that I've noticed is that there haven't been so many attacks on Christmas. The war on Christmas hasn't been raging as much. And I think a lot of that has to do with President Trump and his leadership going back to the idea that it's okay to say Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and, you know, people made fun of his making that a big deal, Merry Christmas. But those of us who know him know that was code for we need to put faith back in Christmas. Christmas is not just a secular holiday. It's about Jesus Christ. And I think he created an environment that made everybody more faith-friendly and faith-cognizant.
It's interesting that you mention that, because there is a new survey out from Lifeway Research, and they found that U.S. adults, American adults, are kind of split on whether they're going to be at church sometime this Christmas. Are you finding that to be the case? And if so, why is that? Why would adults be split on where they're going to celebrate Christmas?
Well, we haven't experienced it here at First Baptist Dallas. People pack into our Christmas Eve services and Christmas Day services, and So we're not experiencing it. But I think the fact is, Todd, every indicator is the world is becoming more and more secular. But, you know, the darker the world becomes, and I think it's progressively getting darker, the light of the gospel shines more brightly. And so I think the church has a great opportunity to be that light in the darkness, to represent the light of the world, Jesus Christ.
Does it take a lot of time for you to figure out, okay, it's Christmas, do I have a traditional message or do I do something new? Take us through that process.
Well, you know, first of all, I don't try to do something new. I don't want to change the plot. I mean, the plot.
It's a good story. Yeah.
So my job is just simply to tell the good news, not to create the good news. And so, but I don't want to do the same thing every year. So I have a list of about 10 or 12 key passages relating to Christmas that I go through and try to put a fresh spin on a 2,000-year-old story that represents the hope of the world.
Real quick, Dr. Jeffers, before we have to let you go, let you scoot out, do you have a favorite Christmas carol, a Christmas song?
Yeah, my favorite song, and we close every one of our Christmas services with it, is Joy to the World. You know, most people, Todd, don't know that Joy to the World was written originally not about Christ's first coming in Bethlehem, but it's about his second coming when he returns again. He will rule the world in truth and grace and cause the nations to see the wonders of his love. That's all about the second coming of Christ. And, you know, Christmas wouldn't mean anything if it was just the representation of a baby born in a manger. But this baby was someone special, the Son of God who died for the sins of our world. And one day he's coming back again. And that's the hope we have as Christians. This life is not all that there is. Christ is coming back.
Well said. Well, Dr. Jeffers, we just want to wish you and Mrs. Jeffers and your whole family, the grandkids, everybody, and everybody at First Baptist Dallas, a Merry Christmas.
Thanks so much, Todd. Remember, you owe us a visit at First Baptist Dallas.
I'll be there, and I'm waiting for that accordion player.
Okay.
All right, Dr. Robert Jeffers. Wow, what a great... I'm excited. I love this time of year, folks, and we're going to be doing these up until next week. We have got a 3-hour, so next Wednesday, Christmas Day, we will be celebrating a 3-hour Christmas special. We're going to have some incredible performances from folks like John Rich, the Mylon Hayes family, and a few other special guests as well. It's going to be a lot of fun and just an opportunity for you to take a break, turn on the radio, and experience one of those old-fashioned radio specials, the Todd Stearns Christmas Show. All right, hang tight. We got to get back to politics after this break. Liz Cheney, very, very concerned, and she should be. We have some new intel coming out of a House panel investigating that J6 committee. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Hey, let's go to the phones. I want to talk to Danny in Selmer, Tennessee. Listening to us on KWAM. Danny, so you weren't able to say Merry Christmas? Did we get that right?
Yes, sir. It was. This is kind of a funny story I thought I'd share, because this is about, I guess, what the people want versus what the government tries to mandate, maybe. And a little bit uplifting for Christmas and the spirit of my rebel spirit, I guess, a little bit. But, yeah, I was working for a state government, and I had to deliver to all kinds of state and federal offices all over the place. We were giving in our emails and signs up posted, and we weren't allowed to say Merry Christmas. For government workers, we could say Happy Holidays, but we couldn't say Merry Christmas. And so nobody was. And I'd go to the offices, you know, a couple weeks run up prior to Christmas, and I'd just say, all righty, well, y'all have a Merry Christmas. And, you know, everybody would light up and smile, wish me a Merry Christmas back. Nobody else would initiate that, but I sure would, and I got zero complaints. Nobody got mad at me. These people are petty. They'll get you in trouble for anything, slip out a cuss word or anything like that. They'll complain just for something to do, and nobody complained when I went around saying Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. And
yeah, imagine
I got no
that.
Trouble at all.
Imagine
and,
that.
Here we go.
Danny,
uplifting uplifting story for you.
Danny, years ago when I was working at Fox, my first Christmas, I was going Christmas shopping. I had to buy a tie, and I went over to Macy's at Herald Square, the original Macy's for Miracle on 34th Street. And the place was packed. It was jammed, and it was happy holidays all over the place. And I always tell people Merry Christmas. I don't care where I'm at, getting gas, at the supermarket, wherever. I'm always like, Merry Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas. And the lady, the cashier at the Macy's, she said, Hap. And then she said, Merry Christmas. And she just smiled. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it spreads cheer around doing that.
It does.
Makes people happy.
Because, Danny, when people say happy holidays, I'm like, what holiday are you happy about?
Which one is it? Yeah, and I'm not ruling anybody out. I'm just speaking specifically about Christmas. I'm not saying don't have a happy Hanukkah. I'm just saying that Merry Christmas, you know. I have to be Christian, and I say Merry Christmas. So.
I will say this, though. At Fox, at least in the radio division, there were more Happy Hanukkah folks than Merry Christmas folks. So I decided to go with an Elvis-themed Christmas card. You got the blue and the white, so it kind of covered everybody.
There you go. Well, you have a great day, sir.
All right. Merry Christmas, right. Danny.
Merry Christmas, sir.
There you go. All right. Can we talk about this House panel? So this is pretty serious. There is a brand new report coming out from the Oversight Committee and they're looking into the corruption of the J6 Committee. And this is really remarkable. Our good friend Greg Price, who worked at Fox for years ago, has some intel to share. First of all, Cassidy Hutchinson, who was a key witness against President Trump in this committee. It turns out that she did three interviews with the committee, but it was Alyssa Farah, a former Trump administration official who now is a host on The View. Alyssa Farah is the one who connected Hutchinson with Liz Cheney. And Liz Cheney started directly communicating, which is a clear ethics violation. So Liz Cheney convinced Hutchinson to replace her lawyer with a liberal activist. Hutchinson does her fourth interview in which she begins making all of these crazy claims to the committee, and all of those claims turned out not to be true. And then we have this information that the J6 committee deleted over 1 terabyte worth of data before the Republican majority took over. So, in essence, the reason why Liz Cheney is begging for a pardon is because, based on this new information, Liz Cheney, there is evidence that Liz Cheney committed criminal witness tampering in order to derail President Trump. And this is incredibly disturbing information. The headline in the New York Post, House GOP panel calls for Liz Cheney to be investigated for criminal witness tampering. According to the New York Post, Liz Cheney used the Signal app, an encrypted Signal app, to communicate with Cassidy Hutchinson, who was an aide, just a low-level nobody in the White House, who dropped all of these fake bombs. It's just unbelievable why these people are not being punished. And by the way, Cassidy Hutchinson was actually the star witness. The Committee on House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight issued an interim report today calling for the Justice Department to investigate Cheney as Trump prepares to retake the White House. Now, look, this is not about retribution. It's not about jailing your political enemies. This is about getting to the truth here. And the question is a very real question. Did Liz Cheney and Nancy Pelosi weaponize that committee? And did they commit criminal wrongdoing and weaponizing this committee to try and take out Donald Trump? Now, Congressman Barry Loudermilk from Georgia, we're going to try to get him on the show this week. Congressman Loudermilk says this: evidence uncovered by the subcommittee revealed that former Congresswoman Liz Cheney tampered with at least one witness by secretly communicating with Hutchinson without the knowledge of Hutchinson's attorney. Are you following all of this? It's a little difficult to follow here. This tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a huge scandal afoot. It's not brewing. It's already there. And we got to get to the bottom of it. 901-260-5926. And let me say this. If Liz Cheney did, in fact, break the law, she ought to pay the price for that. I mean, it's very clear to me that this is what needs to happen. We can't let these people get away with this stuff anymore. We just can't do it, ladies and gentlemen. And the fact of the matter is, the reason why they've gone after Trump the way they've gone after the president is because no one's ever called them out on it. Well, I say it's time to call them out on it. We've absolutely got to do that. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, we are still waiting for Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, to release the continuing resolution. Eric Burleson on this program just a little while ago called it a total dumpster fire. Marjorie Taylor Greene is enraged. Many Republicans are enraged. And we're getting word now that Johnson will have to use Democrats, and more Democrats may very well end up voting for this than Republicans. Here's Congressman Chip Roy, cut five.
I mean, just swamp's going to swamp, right? 1,400 pages, still haven't seen the text. Multiple subject matters. Important health care legislation in the context of extenders piled on the back of a three-month CR with about $110 billion unpaid for, $25 billion of health care policy, half of which is fake pay for, being sold that is pay for because they're gimmicks and shuffling around the decks. Things like E15, which we didn't even have a full debate on. This is not the way to do business, right? And so, you know, we've said we'd do something different. And since we've been given the majority again, we're adding $330 billion in literally totally unpaid for additional deficit spending just since November 5th in 45 days. I don't see how that's doing what we're supposed to be doing.
How much of the blame falls on the speaker?
Yeah, I mean, right now we'll keep trying to move forward. The conference itself owns this, right? And the conference needs to decide whether we're actually serious about spending. And they talk about, well, we got to do mandatory spending reform and bend the curve. But we just voted on a $200 billion shift of dollars in Social Security that's going to shorten the time when Social Security expires or goes bankrupt. We're just fundamentally unserious about spending. And as long as you got a blank check, you can't shrink government. If you can't shrink government, you can't live free.
And that's true. And as a matter of fact, if you go to our website, toddstearns.com, we have the number for the Capitol switchboard. You need to be calling your elected leaders and you got to tell them, stop. This has got to stop. We don't have this money, and it's completely unfair to Donald Trump, completely unfair to Donald Trump, that we saddle him with even more debt and draconian rules going into the new administration. So we're going to have to stop Speaker Mike Johnson here, folks. That's what we're going to have to do. And it's a shame what this man has done. He had a great opportunity, and he has squandered all of his goodwill, squandered it. And you heard Congressman Burleson earlier. I said, do you trust his leadership? And he said he trusted the guy's heart, but not his leadership. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, I have to tell you about our friends at Priority Gold. We're going to talk to those folks in just a few moments. But I want you to text the word golden right now to 24999. And my friends at Priority Gold, they've got over two decades of experience. They've got thousands of five-star reviews. They're going to send you a free gold investor guide. That's right, folks. Right now, I want to send you a free gold investor guide, no strings attached at all. All you have to do is take out your smartphone and text the word golden, G-O-L-D-E-N, to 24999 for your free guide. It's going to help you diversify your retirement and your savings. And you've got to do that by getting some gold. And our friends at Priority Gold are going to help you do that. Again, text golden to 24999. All right, folks, don't forget the Todd Stern Show tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax TV. Be sure to tune in. Have a great show lined up for you. And again, ToddStearns.com. If you haven't bookmarked our website, you got to do that. Lots of great content, lots of great information for you there. And I think you're really going to like the new design of the page. All right, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we're very honored to have a new friend with us, Justin Hightower from Priority Gold. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You know, Justin, as we sort of gear into the new year, a lot of folks are looking, especially around the holiday season, maybe getting involved in Priority Gold, looking at what's happening in the gold industry. And when you look at what's been happening with the economy, I'm just kind of curious, what is driving gold's performance heading into 2025?
Well, it's really a perfect storm for gold right now, Todd. Inflation is still high. The national debt is out of control. We're adding more than $1 trillion every 100 days, about $3.5 trillion this year. Geopolitical conflicts keep escalating. These pressures drove gold to 39 record highs this year, and experts predict it could climb even higher in 2025.
Is that really, that's what they're saying, that we could see these prices go even higher than what we've seen, which have been great, by the way.
They have been. This has been a banner year for gold, and we expect it to continue. These problems aren't going away easily. We have a lot of debt in the system to work through, Todd.
You know, one of the things that a lot of people, and we get these questions all the time, I get the messages on our social media platforms, and they're concerned about all of these scams out there. There's a lot of buzz around gold, and there are scams popping up all over the place. So how can somebody make sure that they're actually working with a trusted company like Priority Gold?
Well, that's a great question and a great point. This is probably the most important aspect that we deal with in having conversations with people. At Priority Gold, transparency is our number one priority. We're going to guide you step by step so you know exactly what you're getting, whether it's rolling over your IRA into a self-directed gold IRA or purchasing physical coins or bars. We're committed to safe and fair transactions, no hidden fees, no surprises. You're going to get a nice, clean transaction. And our reputation, whenever you look at the length of time we've been in the industry and the business, we want to give all of our clients a very high level of conviction they're dealing with the right company.
Yeah, I'm kind of envious. I mean, you guys have more five-star reviews than I have. I mean, you've got like thousands of them. So well done, you guys.
Yeah, it's in this industry, I think, doing it the right way, you know, good quality customer service, being here to answer the phones when people need us, starting with information approach, you know, it's not going to be a high-pressure deal. It's not what you're going to get from Priority Gold.
Okay, so let's talk about, all right, so no doubt about it, you guys are rock solid. Somebody's ready, they're listening right now to the show, they want to invest in Priority Gold, they're ready to diversify their savings. What's the first step in doing that? How do they get started?
Well, it's simple. You can just text GOLDEN to 24999 or visit PriorityGold.com, and you're going to get a free gold investor's guide. It explains everything, including how to roll over your IRA or 401k tax and penalty free into gold and silver. We have a coin guide that goes over the different options that you can invest in. So it all starts with you reaching out, and we'll get you some information to get you started.
And that's what I love about what you guys are doing, is that there, it's all about educating the investor so that, you know, folks know exactly what they're getting into, and they can, that you guys take them through all of this in the gold guide. Now, I'm curious, what about, and we have so many different age groups listen to this show, what about younger people? Would you recommend maybe a young kid's getting you know, some money for Christmas? Is it good for them to maybe take a look at investing in gold at a younger age?
Absolutely. And even parents or grandparents that are passing gifts down. That's how I got started in gold and silver originally. I was 8 years old. My grandparents were the type of people that lived through the Depression. They stored metals in their closet. They gave me a mason jar of silver half dollars at the time. It was $75.
Wow.
I still have it today. I wanted to spend it at the arcade, but today it's worth like $3,600. I've seen it my whole life grow in value, and it's changed. You know, I'm the director of a national highly ranked gold and silver brokerage firm. So giving, you know, gifts, or, you know, if you're in your 20s or 30s, always a good time to start putting real money into your portfolio. It's going to outperform paper fiat all day.
I think this
investment.
It's brilliant. All right, and real quick here, I understand there is an opportunity for our listeners to maybe come away with some free silver as well. What's up with that?
Yes, we do have a promotion with a qualified purchase. Priority Gold is giving up to $10,000 in free silver. It's an incredible offer as silver prices continue to climb. You're going to have some growth in there, but yes, reach out. We'll get you all the information. Start with a phone call.
I love it. And again, Justin, who comes away with the coolest grandparents, you know, helping get him started as a young kid, 8 years old, and look at you now. And we could be doing that with our kids and with our grandkids. And folks, it's super simple. All you have to do is text GOLDEN to 24999. The very first step is to get that free gold guide. You can also go online, PriorityGold.com. That's PriorityGold.com, or text GOLDEN to 24999. And we're going to help you diversify your financial future, and we're going to be able to do that right now. Well, Justin, we really do appreciate you coming on the program today. And thank you for the partnership. We're really excited about this, folks. And especially for those of you with kids and grandkids, what a great way to help set them up for the future by getting them started at a young age with gold and silver. I mean, it really is that simple. So be sure to check those folks out again. Text GOLDEN to 24999 or visit PriorityGold.com and get that free gold guide. All right, folks, it has been a lot of fun today. A lot of stories we're going to be paying attention to throughout the evening. So even though we're off the air, you're going to be able to go back and you're going to be able to stay up to speed on what's happening with that continuing resolution. We will be sending out alerts in the event something big happens and you need to know about it. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. It has been a great day. Get out there, be good, America.